break it down a little bit and explain it, or as they say in the Deep South, explain it a little better. Sometimes there are scriptures that we know by heart, and we've quoted them through the years, and we've read them through the years, and there are nuggets in there. George Glass, that old apostolic camp meeting preacher, he said there are nuggets in any given verse that you pick that you've never polished. And so he said, I remember him saying this, I was just probably a kid when I heard him say this, a young man, but he said, I refuse to call any scripture familiar. So turning to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Thank you, Paul. That was so inspirational. And I'm going to tell you what, there's something about a spouse reaching over and praying for you, and or a father, a mother, an uncle, aunt, I mean, one of your family members. God's used children. We had young people down here last Sunday praying for different people. And then some of them, when they got done praying for the ones that they started with, they started praying for somebody else. I mean, they began ministering to others. I was extremely proud in a humble way. And isn't that a paradox? Proud in a humble way. Of and thankful for our young people. Ephesians 2 verse 8. What a beautiful day it is. The sun is shining. Now, it might not feel like it when you're out there, but the sun is shining. Okay, I'm not going by what I feel. I'm just going by what I see. Praise God. The sun is shining. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Through faith. Somebody say, through faith.
Through faith.
So let's see what we've got. Three elements in play here: grace, and then saved. So we could say salvation out of the word saved there. So we've got grace, salvation, and then it says through faith. So faith, grace, salvation, and faith, right? And then it stops. It's like there's a pause. And it says, Paul writing by the Holy Ghost to the church in Ephesus, and that, which is an interesting thing to say when you've named three things and then all of a sudden you say, and that, because you have to wonder, what is that referring to, that word that? What, which one of these three is it referring to? Have you ever thought that? I wonder which one he's referring to. And that not of yourselves. Oh, there we go. There goes all the selfies. Because we're in the selfie generation. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And notice how it reads there. Not they are the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Now, I don't know. This verse has intrigued me for years. And I've seen something this week in it that I'm going to see if I can open it up to you. Because how many of you have ever had somebody be preaching or teaching and you've had an aha moment where you thought, oh my lands, I've never seen that before. Oh, that helps me. Praise God. William, so good to have you with us. God bless you. Amen. Next time we play football, I want you on my team. The run game will come to a halt immediately. I've got somebody that can help me stop the run. Okay. I want to put the title in a question. Whose faith is it really? Whose faith? All right. Most of us know before we pray, we understand that God has called us to believe. He's called us to have faith, right? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. Somebody say rewarder.
Rewarder.
You know, when it's a trillionaire telling you, you know, when the Holy Ghost is telling you that He's a rewarder. If you said Sam Walton is a rewarder, you know that he's got enough oomph, see, behind him and his family, that if you get rewarded, it probably won't be pennies in pennies, right? If it's God the rewarder, and there's nobody that can touch his wealth. You know, nobody's going to outwealth God, right? And he's the rewarder. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I know he is. Somebody say he is.
He is.
He is. Has anybody felt his presence in this house today? I have felt. We have felt his presence. So must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder. It's a trillionaire saying, I will reward you if you'll believe me. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is not optional. It's serious. In Romans 14, 23, it tells us, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Did you know that? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know what that says to me? It says that God wants me to mix faith into everything I do for him. Some people come to church going home, right? Some people go home coming back to church. Like, I can't wait to get back to the next service. I'm going home, but I'm coming back in my heart. You understand what I mean? Woo, praise God. I'm anxious because I come into this service with faith. Just as God touched Paul, all of a sudden all his pain's gone. Just as God touched Peggy in last week's service. And some other people, praise God, we're touched by the power of the Lord. He wants to touch us. But one of the keys to all of it happening is how to know, how to understand, how to operate in faith. I'm going to ask our prayer director to pray for us all and pray that God would give us revelation and understanding in this business. Thank you.
God, we just humble our hearts to prepare our hearts to receive revelation. Anoint our pastor, God, quicken him. Let his word be a sure word, and we want to hear a sure word today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Would you worship him for just a little bit? Praise God. Would you just worship the Lord? Praise the name of Jesus. I worship you, God. Be lifted up in your word today. Give us understanding, Lord. Let light shine on us, God. Quicken us all in the Holy Ghost, I pray, to understand, Lord, how simple faith is. Help us to know how to plug into you, Lord. Help us to know how to flow, to get in the river of your power, to step into the river of your grace, Lord. Help us to understand that, Lord. Thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. For by grace are you saved. I know of a large denomination. They just feel like this is their verse. And actually, it isn't. It's everybody's verse. But I'm glad that they feel that they understand this verse. But the book is for us all. And sometimes the simplest things or the most profound truths can be found in a simple Bible verse. For by grace. Okay, listen to this. Grace. Did anybody deserve it? Actually, the very definition of grace is undeserved favor. Undeserved. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But he gave me grace. He gives you grace. He gives us grace. We don't generate it, do we? Do we generate grace? Uh-uh. Do we earn it? Can't earn it. So it comes from him. Is that right? It comes from him. So for by grace are ye saved. So let's talk about salvation. Is salvation something I can earn? I got to thinking of this. You know how you get in the shower and you get a revelation in the shower? I don't know if it's because, you know, it's all that water and you're finally getting your brain unclouded. I got to thinking of it like this. What did you have to do with your first birth? You know, salvation is called the new birth. Except a man be born of water, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What did you have to do with your first birth? The answer is nothing, as they say in Alabama, nothing. You didn't have anything to do with your first birth. So you didn't generate your first birth. It didn't stem from you or your efforts. Okay, so what about the second birth? Did you earn your new birth? Did you qualify for it? Or did you took some steps of obedience that put you in a place for something that was already paid for. You didn't earn the new birth. You could never earn the forgiveness of God. You can't earn the love of God. He pours it out abundantly and never charges us. It's free. I love free stuff. When these restaurants say free refills, they don't make a lot of money on me. Because I take them at their word. I believe in irrigation. You understand? I'm always thirsty. And so I love free refills. Woo! When I get charged for a second drink at some of these fancier restaurants, I'm almost offended because I'm so spoiled with free refills. But you got to understand something. If you want the free refill, you have to stay where the first one's being paid for to get the second one free. You have to. You can't take your McDonald's cup, walk down to Pizza Hut and ask them to refill it. They'll see McDonald's on the cup and tell you, you've got to go back to McDonald's and get your free refill where you bought the original one. If you could listen, what faith, what joy, what repentance did we walk in when we first came to him and he filled us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and didn't send us a bill in the mail. Woo! For by grace, unearned, ungenerated by me, for by grace are ye saved, salvation unearned. Well, I thought when you get repent and get baptized and get the Holy Ghost, you earned it. Not really. It's just repentance. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, verse 38. That's the new birth. We just put ourselves in a position to receive an experience that's already been paid for. So now watch this. The last element. We dealt with grace. Where it comes from. Do we earn it? No. Do we generate it? No. We've talked about salvation. Do we earn it? No. Do we generate it? No. We work with God to receive it, but we don't pay for it. It's free. How about the last item? For by grace are you saved through faith. Well, see, this is why I believe this speaks to why some of us sometimes don't get that healing we want yet. It's on its way. It's paid for, but we're trying so hard to get healed in our own faith. In our own efforts to believe. Do you know that belief and faith are not synonymous? You can try to believe and have no faith whatsoever. The Bible tells us in James that the devils believe, but are they saved? I don't think so. So here we go. And that not of yourselves. We've got grace, we've got saved or salvation, and then we've got, what's the third element? Through faith. For ye are saved by grace through faith. So when it says, and that not of yourselves, Gina, what is that referring to? Because there are three elements in play. Is it referring to the grace part? Because we know that we didn't ourselves, see, and that not of yourselves. Somebody said, living for God, true Christianity, is an unselfing of us. We can't even brag about how we earned the grace of God because we didn't earn it. We can't brag, really, about our salvation in the sense that it had to do with us and we generated it and we stirred it up and we got it, and because he paid for it. It comes from him. We can't even brag about our faith. In other words, when we come to God, we lose our bragging rights. So when, can anybody follow this a little bit? When he said, and that, not of yourselves, what was he referring to? Here's my declaration. He was referring to all three. But if, I'm giving this a little bit of a, just challenge your thinking. Because all three fit the description. Grace is not of ourselves. Salvation didn't start in me. It started outside of me, moved toward me, moved inside, but he paid for it. I didn't. And faith that we have to work in God and operate in the Spirit doesn't have its beginnings in me. It has its beginnings in Christ the Savior. Hallelujah. So when he said, in that, not of yourselves, what was he referring to? Well, I say, first of all, he was referring to all three. That grace is not of ourselves. That salvation's not of me, not of you. It didn't generate. You didn't generate it. You didn't earn it. We didn't earn it. So is our faith of him and not us. So, what happens sometimes when we want to get healed? We're beating our brains out trying to believe, when if we could figure out how to step into the faith that comes from him. And we've all been there. We have all been there. The scripture that says in 1 Corinthians 1:29, you know, since I can't brag about his grace as far as me being worthy of it, I can't brag about salvation. And if we're bragging, that's probably, we're supposed to be testifying of it, not bragging about it. We've lost our bragging rights because the grace comes from him. The salvation comes from him. And even, and I wish, this is the first time I've ever taught on this thought in my life. You see how young I am, right? You think this is an old guy here. This is a recycled teenager talking to you. Woo! We used to have a guy in our church in Virginia years ago. He used to say, come to our church and hear our pastor. He's 50 years old and preaches like he's 35. Understand this, 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh, it's the only place in the Bible that reads like this, that no flesh. So if I come into the church, I can't brag on the fact that I earned the grace because I didn't. I can't brag on the fact that I got saved because I didn't earn it. And the faith that he wants us to work in, or wants to have it work in us, I can't even brag on my faith. I lost my bragging rights. There is a faith that comes from him. There is a faith that's centered in God. Woo! I cannot generate it. I cannot work it up. I cannot manufacture it. But I can. Ooh, man. I wish somebody would have helped me with this years ago. I can ask for his impartation of it. Have you ever asked God, ever kind of mess up and go, God, could you give me grace? Could you give me a little extra grace today? Raise your hand and be honest with me. Okay. You make me feel better because I need to lift my feet up and my hands up. Praise God. You say, Lord, I'm running late, or Lord Jesus, I got off track over there. Please give me a little grace. And you asked for it, and he gave it to you. And you didn't get a bill in the mail. Okay, that's $155 for 3 ounces of grace. If you could drop your payment, you know, if you don't, the grace will be rescinded. You'll be in trouble again. Aren't you so glad we didn't get a bill in the mail? Hallelujah. How much did one drop of blood? He washed our sins away by his blood. He washed our sins away by his red blood. And we didn't get a bill in the mail for dry cleaning. cleaning or wet cleaning or blood cleaning or whatever kind of cleaning you want to call it, but you can't get to heaven without the blood washing your sins away. And we have a revelation that you have to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name to have that full experience, full biblical experience of the cleansing of the blood. But you didn't earn his blood. I didn't earn his blood. We don't merit his blood. We merit hell. But he said, you're not going there if you'll believe my word and let my grace and my salvation and my faith work in you. Why don't you lift your hands and let's bless the name of the Lord God. Give us understanding, Lord. Give us understanding, God. I worship you, Lord. We give you praise and honor. Let your faith work in us. Lord, let your faith work in us. Let your faith, Lord, work in us. In Jesus' name, it shall be so. Now, let's run over to Mark chapter 11, if you would. You'll remember these scriptures. And as a matter of fact, we might even want to read a couple of bonus verses right there. It's kind of a cluster beginning at verse number 22. This is one of my favorite portions of scripture about faith, okay? And I love these verses. God's word is so powerful. Verse 22 of Mark 11, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Is that a command? Is that in the imperative form, the command form? Okay, for verily I say unto you, verse 23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Isn't that a humdinger of a verse? And we put emphasis on that. What are you saying? Many times we're saying what the devil wants us to say, or what the world wants us to say, or what our circumstances dictate, instead of what God's word says. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Three awesomely powerful verses on faith. But notice the first verse. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, I'm going to give you another translation of that, all right? And answering, Jesus said to them, have faith of God. Now, you would not think that a preposition like in or of could make a difference. But now let me give you the rendition of a famous, long dead, great man of God, who was reading his Greek New Testament. And he said, this is how it reads literally in the Greek, this verse. And answering the Jesus, isn't that powerful? Not just one among a whole bunch of Jesuses, but the Jesus. And answering the Jesus says to them, have you faith of God? See, if I say, you better have faith in God, I'm throwing down a challenge, I'm giving you a command. But if I say, and then he says it's in a question form in the Greek, have you faith of God? Do you have a faith that you got from God? Do you have the faith of God working in you? Not just, you better have faith in God, get your faith stirred up and generate some faith. He's saying, do you have the faith of God in you? Sometimes, see, I want to see Sister Joy's feet totally healed. I want to see Sister Peggy totally delivered of diabetes. And others that might have that dreaded disease, totally, totally delivered. I believe if we could understand how faith works, its point of origin, where it comes from. Many times we're wrestling to believe when we've never asked God to impart his faith to work in us. Because God has a perfect faith. His faith always works. There is nobody in the universe that has the faith that God has. He gets up in Genesis 0 and 0, and there's nobody out there. And he stands behind his pulpit, and he starts preaching. And 10 times in Genesis 1, it says, "And God said," and every time he said something, something came into existence. He is the only one who ever got behind a pulpit to preach to an empty house. And when he got done preaching, the house was full. And every time he said something, every time he preached something, every time he said it in faith, something came into existence. And he's saying to us, that kind of faith, the faith that is God's faith, is a gift to us, can be an impartation to us. Long-standing diseases can disappear when the faith of God, not just my faith, but the faith of God himself, is operating in us. Woo! Anybody follow me? Now, I got so excited about this week, studying and praying about this. Because I don't want to live for years with prayers unanswered. You know what? You and me just using our faith on one, whatever level, it's a blessing. But when we tap into his faith. Now, I had to do some reminiscing. Because sometimes it operates and you don't know what's happening. So let me ask a question. Anybody here, before I share a story that happened in our family, have you ever had a time when you were praying about something? And it could be that you were worried about somebody or something. And you were praying about them. And you just knew you had faith for them to come into the church. Faith for them to find God. Faith for them to be healed. Faith for finances. And you couldn't put your finger on it. You just knew that when you prayed about it, you knew you were in the will of God. And the faith of God was operating in you. And you had no doubt that it was going to happen. That your prayer was going to come to pass. Lift your hand if you can think of a time or two or maybe more. Okay, what was that? I'm going to tell you what that was. That was the faith of God, not your faith, just trying to believe, but the faith of God that cannot fail, Brother Nevin. God's faith cannot fail. It cannot. It will not fail. When the faith of God is operating in us, there is this almost indescribable sense of confidence. Now, I've got to tell you about buying our house. Oh my. It was such a story. I never anticipated living in a beautiful house like that. Marla, to tell you the truth, it was beyond me. It was beyond me, right? But this little gal right here, she's something else. She is gifted in areas that you've never discerned. But you've discerned some of her giftings, and one of them is she's definitely a teacher. Deluxe. Okay. She's the deluxe edition of a teacher. She started looking at this house in the newspaper and started praying. They drove by it, and I think, didn't John say something? He looked over there and said, that's the kind of house, one of those houses is the kind of house you need to live in. And she looked at it, and she got her eyes full. Her optical nerves were touched, you know. Beautiful collection of houses. So she started tracking it, praying over it, you know, this. And every, was it every week? Was it Sunday paper they would come out with? The internet, okay, and so it was at a financial level. She knew it was beyond us too. She was honest about it. It was beyond us, but that didn't mean she quit. See, sometimes we see something that, for our present circumstances, is beyond us. But if we could pray and believe God, God can reduce it, put it on his photocopier, and reduce it to a size that we can handle. You understand? When faith from God, I feel the Holy Ghost just saying that. When faith from God is operating in you, when you lean into him and say, Lord, I don't have the faith, but you have the faith, and you have a perfect faith, and your faith is never denied. So, Lord, I lean into you, and I ask you for an impartation of your faith to operate in me so you get the glory, because it wasn't even my faith, it was yours. Woo, let's love him. Let's praise him. Taramaso. Woo. Jesus' name. So she's praying over this house, and I didn't dissuade her. I didn't say, "Now, baby, honey, child, sugar pumpkin, please. There's no way." I knew. I saw the houses, and I thought, well, I just didn't think much about it. You know, I just thought, I really felt like I probably classified that kind of a house as out of the question. You know, it's amazing, our ability to classify. Lord, don't give me a really big answer. Give me a little, you know, I'm not asking for a steak. Just how about a donut? I'm not asking for half and half. How about some skim milk? You know, we really don't, you know. Anyway, she keeps praying about it. And somewhere in this process, the every week it would come down a little bit more. God was shrinking it. Something locked in when she was doing this. She was like, you know, those radars and so on. Heat seeking missile. And all of a sudden, it wasn't just Cindy Lynn Meadows, First Lady of Faith Worship Center, praying about it. The faith of God, something God gave her, a supernatural faith. And all of a sudden, we're in a process. We're like on the back of the tiger. You know, you just can't get off just anywhere you want to, because you might be served a la carte if you get off too early. Stay on the tiger, all right? And let him get played out, you know. You're on the back of this circumstance. It's bigger than you. It's more ferocious than you. It'll eat you up if you let it. But if you let the faith of God operate in you, you'll find yourself believing for things, amen, that you know God wants to take off of you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to loose you, give you liberty, give you supernatural joy, and let you see his power that works when his faith is operating in you. Would you lift your hands and hearts and let's worship him? He's the worthy God. He's the worthy. He's the worthy one. All of a sudden, something has entered the picture. It's no longer just mom wanting a really nice house. That was beyond us. Every week as she prayed and believed and let faith operate, something came over her. We would drive by those houses and we'd point to it and thank God for it. Beyond this. See, if you let your mind get in the way of a really big answer, you know what this is? It's the EIB. The educated idiot box. And Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, I think it's verse 6, the whole head is sick. Your head will get you in trouble because you can't track God just with your mind. This isn't just a religion of the mind. It's a religion. It's a salvation of the heart. It's about the heart, not about your brain. The brain will tag along, but you don't lead with your brain. You lead with his word and your heart. He comes to save our heart, not just make us better thinkers, but make us real believers. So, every week, coming down. London Bridge is falling down. London Bridge is falling down. Now, we have lived there several years. We had some unique things we had to deal with, Marla. I won't go into the details, but sometimes when you get an answer to prayer, there's a little bit of cleanup work to the miracle. Okay, you got 5,000 plus 12 loaves. We have some crumbs to pick up. Hallelujah. Let's put the leftovers in baskets. And they had 12 baskets left over. They had more left over than they did when they started, because the faith of God was operating in the situation full of need. And when God got done, not only was everybody satisfied, but they had a renewal of their resources. They had a renewal of their resources because the faith of Jesus, the faith of God, was in operation. Oh, come on now. I wish somebody would believe God to touch your wallet and touch your bills and manifest his resources in you until he gets all the glory. As we look back, we thank God. You know what I really feel in my heart of hearts? This is what I feel. I don't deserve a house like that. We've had prayer meetings there. We've had cell meetings there. That house has been used probably 5, 10, 15 different ways for the ministry. But I'm just telling you, as we look back, we realized that in that process of watching it in the papers, on the net, praying over it, the faith of God kicked in. And you know, when the faith of God is in operation, you have what we like to call tenacity. I must calm down. I must calm down. There are people telling me not to calm down. Tenacity. Tenacity. You know, that never say die. Sears diehard batteries installed. Never die. Never say die. Never say quit. We are too quitty. We go through a blinking red light like a Pollock. Hum, urge, hum, urge, hum, urge. Too staccato. We're on fire for God on Monday, wondering where Jesus went on Tuesday, praying through on Wednesday, witnesses somebody on Thursday, need prayer on Friday, got to get to church on Sunday because it's been a rough week. And that's not the way he wants us to live. He wants us to live tapping into his grace and tapping into his salvation and tapping into his faith. Not your faith, but his faith. His faith operating in us. And so that's why when we come to Mark 11:22, it didn't just say have faith in God. It said, do you have the faith of? See, we do the second part in verse 23 when we talk to mountains. But if we're not talking to mountains out of the faith that he gives, we're just having a conversation with a bunch of hills. Understand what I'm saying? Okay, if this was the old days, and somebody's coming here in horse and buggy, right? And they turn down here at this wonderful little fractured piece of asphalt called a road. Okay, it's alligatored. We're going to have to replace it this spring. Help me, Jesus. I need your faith, Lord. Asphalt I call black gold. And so it's a horse and carriage. Like the old song, Campbell Soup song, horse and carriage go together like soup and sandwich. Okay, so as you see them coming down the road, do you see the horse first or the carriage? Who's leading? The horse is leading. Many times we get the carriage before the horse and it doesn't work really good. And every little bit of gain on that ground, that trip, you might gain some, but it's hard, it's frustrating, and it's exhausting because we don't have first things first. And the scripture tells us, watch this. Woo, I love this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He said, I'm the author and the finisher. Listen to this in Revelation 1:8. That was Hebrews 12:2. Revelation 1:8. I am, and I forgot this. I'm going to tell you something I forgot, okay? I got a pretty good memory. Brother Tim, do you think I have a pretty good memory? Wow, I need to ask him more questions while I'm preaching. I forgot something. But do you know how the Bible says that Jesus declares, and four times in Revelation, you can read it, that he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, right? I'm Alpha. What's Alpha? The first Greek alphabet. The first Greek letter of the Greek alphabet. I am Alpha and Omega, the last letter, Omega. I am A to Z. I am the beginning. Wow. Let me read it to you. This is what I forgot. I am the Alpha. I forgot the V. Somebody shout, the Alpha.
The Alpha.
And the Omega. He's saying, I am the. See, you could say, well, you know, we've got all kinds of beginnings in our life. No, he says, no. I am the beginning. I'm the beginning of your faith. I'm the beginning. He says, I am not just Omega. He is called, and every time you see it, and you can look it up, Revelation 21:6, Revelation 22:13, in the same chapter, verse 11, every time he mentions himself as being the Alpha and Omega, he always puts the definite article, T-H-E, in front of it. What does that tell you? He doesn't want to be just one of many beginnings. He doesn't want to be just one of many endings. He wants to be the beginning. He is the beginning of your joy. He is the beginning of your faith. He is the beginning of your miracle. He is the beginning of your answer to prayer. Not just one of many. He is the. It refers to one person in the universe. And say, wait, well, you know what? We're doing a lot of stuff here. Why don't we pray about this? See, we put God on the cleanup committee when he should be put on the planning committee. Well, we're in the middle of this and now we have problems. We better pray about this. Let's put God on the cleanup committee. And I say, no, let's put him on the planning committee. And then when it comes time to clean up, there's not so much mess. Because we put him first. So when it comes to faith, well, I'll use my faith for a while, and then I'll see if there's some more faith around that comes from him. He said, oh, no. I am the beginning of your faith. Well, I'm going to get myself a little victory, and then when I can't get any more, I'll ask him for some of his victory. He wants to say, oh, no. I'm the Alpha of your victory. You start with me in everything, and when you do, I'll operate in you and show you mighty things. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. His eye, he just looks, he's looking for a chance to show himself strong. Woo! It begins with him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author, he always writes bestsellers. If you let him write. So we beat our heads against a wall trying to get a miracle. And the reason why is because we're operating on our tiny, tiny, insignificant, is that Espanol, pequeña, small, tiny little faith, pequeña. Es la verdad. That is the truth. Some tiny, and God says, hey, look up at me and ask me for my faith. And then when you get my faith, you can start talking to mountains and moving, changing geography, changing the landscape of your life. When you first get your faith from me, the faith of God, and now start talking. You know what we often do? We talk out of an empty wagon. We put the carriage before the horse and it was never set up. It's against the natural laws of dynamics and motion. We violate laws trying to get our miracle. It's so simple. There is a faith that comes from God. And if it's even operated in you once, you have the right to claim and believe God for it to operate in you on a regular basis. Woo! Come on now. Let's worship God for a little bit and give him glory. Lord Jesus, let your faith. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your faith. Your life can change today. Your whole life can spin around. Just spin around today when you use your faith. And then you tap in to the faith of God. And you step into his unbelievable, never failing faith. Your whole life can begin to become transfigured. Stuff that bothered you can dissipate and disappear. Chains of addiction and things like that can be broken off of you. What doctors could not do and psychotherapists could not do. One touch. Let me tell you about the power of Jesus. One touch of his blood. One touch of his power. And everything can be broken off of you in a moment. Woo! That's why he said, for by grace are you saved. Hallelujah. For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that. And if there was any one of the three that there's a little heavier emphasis, it's the one that's closest to the phrase. And that would be faith. And that not of yourselves. And that faith not of yourselves. It applies to all three, but especially the one closest to the descriptive phrase. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I wonder what would happen, Paul, if we could somehow tag into the faith of God, understand that it's a gift. Valentine's Day, last year, I do this thing where I celebrated my wife and my daughter both as my Valentines. And I would get them gifts and give both of them. And I would celebrate both of them. Well, Valentine's Day fell last February on Sunday. So I had a little teddy bear and some other stuff, candy and different things. And I remember walking out of my office and walking over to Amber. She was sitting over here where the youth sit. And it's all, next week it will be a year. We might take a couple days to disappear, just do some thinking and praying, you know, but God's been with us every step of the way, never doubted. But she was sitting over here, and I came and I gave her her Valentine gift of a little brown teddy bear and some other things that were with it. And that is the little teddy bear that I raced down to the house, to her house. It was sitting up on her counter with the card that I'd given her the day of her accident. And I grabbed that teddy bear and her dog, dropped Princess off at the house, and tore back to the hospital to lay her little teddy bear up against her cheek. But she didn't beg me for a teddy bear. She didn't beg me for a big old beautiful Valentine's card. She's my baby girl. She didn't have to beg for anything. I couldn't do enough for her. Right? Why would you have to beg? For his faith. You're his child. He loves you, and he's got something more than teddy bears to put next to you. He's got resources he wants to cut loose and unleash that could change your whole family. He's got finances that he can have trooping out of holes in the ground if it needed to be oil or whatever he chooses. It might be marshmallows or it might be pizzas. I don't know. And nothing close to that. He's so creative, I'm telling you, that when his faith is in operation, nothing is impossible. But it is him impossible. And so often we're beating our brains out trying to believe hard enough when if we could believe him. I was listening to a guy this week. He's been used of God in amazing ways. He's full of the Holy Ghost. But he's also had a huge de-selfing. You know, he's had God. He had to give God his dignity so that the Holy Ghost would operate in him more powerfully. He said that when he goes somewhere and he's conducting a healing conference, and he has a lot of healings happen. We're going to see more here. And when we share these testimonies, we say, God, we give you the glory. You're the healer. We give you the glory. It's not us, it's you. Everything that's not of Jesus must come down. You are the healer. You get the glory. You get the praise. You're the deliverer. You're the prayer answering God. You are the Alpha. Not just one of the beginnings. He is the beginning of your answer. He is Alpha and Omega. He'll take care of the ending of stuff if we let him take care of the beginning. Sometimes everything else takes care of the beginning, and then we want God to straighten it out at the end. Just a thought. He wants to be the first consideration. So this man was saying, and I've never heard this before, as far as I know. He said that when he's conducting these healing conferences, he gets down during the worship, when people are worshiping and the Holy Ghost is moving. He gets down among the people and he gets to praying for people. Before, you know, he preaches, before there's an altar call. And he sees people healed as he moves around praying for folks. And he says, I do that because I've discovered that when I do these healing conferences, when I preach the word and people, they feel like, well, I've got to believe, and they get to struggling so hard to believe that it's like, it's a wreck. They are struggling so hard to believe. So I know that's not how it works. It's not working when we're just struggling to get our brain to believe. But it works when his presence is on us. And we're in the middle of worship and praise. He discovered he could get many more people healed if they just get in God's presence and get under an anointing, get under, amen, some unction, get under some divine fire. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I think there's room for both, but in his own experience, it was easier for him to get somebody through to a healing because they weren't beating themselves up for not having enough faith. It's his faith. Listen to this. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, you can't live this life without help. I can't be holy without his help. We're not finished products. I tell people, I say this all, it seems like everywhere I go, but a lot of places. My name is Meadows. I'll be green all my life. I just keep on growing. I'm not most of the time happy with myself, and he's working on me about something, which makes me know, according to Hebrews 12, I'm one of his kids. He's working on me about something. If he's not working on you about something, you better check your sonship out. You know, you better check on your sonship. Because if you're a son, you know, I don't go across the street and discipline my neighborhood kids. Because then you'd be visiting me in prison, you know. And you'd say, oh, Pastor Meadows, I know you had a passion for the lost. But, you know, there are limits. There are certain guidelines and things, you know. But so, see, he doesn't store all his discipline up. But his kids... You know, his chastening was one of the proofs of your sonship. Is God dealing with you about something? Is God, does God ever take you to his woodshed? How many of you have ever been to his woodshed? Be honest now. Some of you are lying. Okay, I'm going to give an altar call for liars. It's going to be full. Of course we've been to his woodshed. He's broken tamarack over the back end of me. I hate going to his woodshed. So you know what I do? If I get off track, I try to deal with myself and say, hey, God, I'm beating you to the punch. I'm not waiting for you to spank the living daylights out of me. I have a keen appreciation for your ability, Lord, in this area. Paul said, I live by the faith. What faith? Of the Son of God. We were out there traveling for years, and gas kept going up, you know, the price of gas. You know, at one point it was $5 a gallon. Now, when you're living by faith, it's easy to sing that song. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in his great love. But when you're out there and you don't have a structured income, and let's just say that pastor's schedule's changed and all of a sudden your schedule is very open and you don't know exactly where it's coming from, and gas is going up to $5. And by the way, may I tell you that I feel like I was one of the most blessed evangelists in UPC history. God was so amazingly good to us, but we had to live by his faith. I remember, Brother Tim, we went for years with no flat tires, right? And in 2.5 days, we had 5 flat tires. And it was hilarious, if not ridiculous, if not bizarre. And Brother Cody, the last one was, we'd run out of spares. We're on, I think it was a freeway on the edge, off the road, and that last tire is going down, and I found a nail, and I stuck it in the hole. And that was it. That was the number 5. And we limped on in to the service station. I mean, I only got there because I could find a nail to put in the hole in the tire. It didn't change us. It didn't change his will. We stayed out there. We kept believing God. He came down and did miracles for us because we lived by his faith. Yeah. Woo! And I remember when the gas had been pretty low and it started going high. I don't know where I even said this or where I got the audacity to say this, but I said, if our expenses go high, our income goes high. And now when I look back, I realize where that came from. That didn't come from me. It came through me, but it didn't originate in me. Because that's exactly what happened to us. As the expenses went up, our offerings went up. Is that right? It's exactly what happened. That story about being in New Mexico on the Navajo Indian Reservation. How many of you know that the Navajo Indian Reservation is probably not the easiest place to raise a great offering? Destiny, we're in this little trailer. And we're 30, how many, was it $37? Short. You were doing dishes, and she made some statement to me. What was it? It wasn't a faith statement. I know that. It was like, she's got supernatural faith that works in here. Yeah, where is he? How could this? I mean, Brother Paul, she no more got that out of her mouth. And there's a knock on our door. I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. She barely got it out of her mouth. And somebody's at our door, which was real unusual when you live in a travel trailer, people aren't used to coming to your door because you're not there. Okay? You've not established your residency there where you've got your trailer parked. You haven't built up your neighborhood friendships, right? You're here today, gone tomorrow. Here today, gone tomorrow. You know what I mean? I opened the door, and it's the Navajo pastor, Brother Simpson. And he says something like, oh, I forgot to tell you that we raised a little offering for you. Forgot to tell you about it. Hands it over. She counts it out. Now get this. It's not just like close. It was what we needed down to the nickel, to the penny. But I'm sure It was just a coincidence. I've noticed how my coincidences really go up when I pray a lot. How many coincidences? Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your hands to a God that loves you. He loves you. If he clothes the lilies of the field, if he takes care of the sparrows, hallelujah. The young lions do, amen, suffer hunger and seek their meat from God. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Here's our musicians come. We're going to take a few moments here. Go ahead and step into the faith of God. Step into the faith of Jesus. Ask God, Lord, I need your impartation. I need your faith, Lord, to operate in me. I need the faith of God. I've been beating my brains out, Lord, trying to do it with my tiny little faith. I need the faith of God. I want to come to this altar, Lord, and lift up to you a need and wait on you and climb up into your lap and tell you, I can't do this, not without you, Lord. I can't do this. I can't solve this. I can't change my heart. But Lord, your word says that you'd give us a new heart if we'd come to you. You'd give us a new heart. You'd give us a new mind. You'd give us a new spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Stuff that you don't know how to break them off your life, but he does. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yeah. I get my faith from you, Lord. I get my hope from you, Lord. Oh, I'd like to challenge somebody to walk to this altar, just even if it's just for a few moments, to say, hey, God, you got this. You've got this covered in your policy. You've got this covered in your covenant promises. Hey, Lord, I'm stepping into your grace, your salvation, and your faith.
Whoa.
And that not of yourselves.
I thought by now they fall.
It is the gift of God.
But you have never failed me yet.
It is the gift of God. Oh, Father, thank you.
Waiting,
Lord, we come for to
change
you.
To come.
We come to you. Oh, we invite, let's invite his presence.
For you have never failed me yet.
Lord, we invite the Holy Ghost. We invite.
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness.
We invite your grace. We invite your mercy. We humble ourselves, Lord. We are not smart enough in our own selves. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Oh Lord, give me your gift of faith. Impart. Amen. Oh yes, Lord, we pray together, Lord, whatever that we carry, pressures and stresses. I believe there's a call. I believe he's calling to us. Pour out your grace, Lord. Pour out the grace of God upon your church, Lord. Pour out your salvation on us, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, for your faith. Pray a faith prayer, brother.
Trust more in you, God. Lord, believing, God, that you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you, God. Lord, that we just put ourselves behind, God, our faith be in you, because you are the Alpha and the Omega, God. Lord, that we put our trust in you, Lord Jesus, and we walk in that, God, that we walk in that faith, that we speak it, speak what you're going to do for us, Lord, that we speak it with our words, Lord, standing on you and trusting in you, Jesus, believing, God, it's going to come to pass, God, until it comes to pass, that we keep speaking and rejoicing and, most importantly, thanking you, God, for what you've done for us, Lord, giving you glory and honor and praise, believing and relying on you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for that measure of faith you placed inside of us, that when you add it on, Lord, we give you glory and honor for it. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do.